This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. Broadcasting live on the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Matt Patrick here, and we're starting off with a great interview. A Democrat of the day is the Secretary of State for the state of Minnesota, Steve Simon. He's kind enough today to join us to talk about his reelection campaign. Mr. Secretary, thank you very much for the time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
My pleasure, man. By the way, I know you're not the way you said it, the passion that you put behind it. I know that this was not necessarily what you're looking for, but sweet goodness, that line, "You don't hire the arsonist to be the fire chief," was magnificent. That was brilliant. Well done in that debate, sir.
Well, thanks. I mean, the point I was trying to get across was, you know, you've got someone, my opponent, running for this job who has such contempt for the system and the people who run it at the local level, everyday folks, and someone who is, lighting a fuse constantly with her words that destabilizes our whole system. So why would you hire that person to be in charge of the election system who's going to destabilize and trash the very system that she seeks to oversee? So that was a way to get that point across.
Well, and it was well stated, because I'm going to say this, the Secretary of State, the top election officials in any state, I don't know of a worse candidate than your opponent. I mean, it's not just her despising the system. It's the anti-Semitic video at the GOP convention. It's her comment that handicapped people should probably not be allowed to vote. I mean, this is a pot of hate that just is brewed up. And the fact that this is down to you and her, I'm very hopeful that you are staying on for another term as Secretary of State.
Well, no one can say there isn't a stark contrast, that's for sure. to me, it's all about protecting the freedom to vote. That's who we've been in Minnesota. That's why we're number one in the country and have been for three times in a row when it comes to voting. And, you know, I'm running against someone with a very, very different vision, someone who thinks very negative, and more than just negative, totally unfounded things. This is someone who has said that she will never be sure who really won Minnesota in 2020, even though we know Joe Biden won the state by 230,000 votes. It wasn't particularly close. And so that kind of talk isn't just dangerous. It isn't just damaging. It really is disqualifying. And the point I'm trying to get across is that we're much better than that. Who we have been as a state, red and blue and purple and anyone in between, is we have prized access. We're proud of the fact that our people lean in for elections and vote in high numbers year after year. And I would say that high rate of voting year after year really demonstrates a fundamental confidence in the system. People wouldn't vote at such sky-high levels time and time again in Minnesota unless they knew it was fundamentally clean and honest. And they do know that. And there are people who disagree with me on various election policy ideas. That's certainly okay. But our people vote in such high numbers because they know their vote's going to count. And they know the system is clean and honest. And I think that's what we're all about.
One of the things I love about you, Steve, and I've known Secretary Simon for quite a while now, and one of the things I love about you is you just do your job, you do it well, and you're getting a lot of attention as the person that people should want to have in that position within their given state. You had the Time magazine cover, The Defenders, Inside the Fight to Save American Elections. You're one of the people featured on that cover. Adam Kinzinger, the Illinois Republican, gave out money and endorsements to individuals he feel are there to try to save this country, and your name was mentioned there. You know, it's kind of one of those things where because you just take this job so seriously, not partisanly, but seriously, that this is a job to get everyone to vote. I think that that's what shines through, and you end up getting bipartisan support and across a long way around the spectrum here, because you're just so good at what you do.
Well, thank you for saying that. The Kinzinger endorsement was particularly meaningful because, as your listeners know, I'm sure, he's a Republican, a conservative Republican, who serves in Congress from Illinois. He is on the January 6th committee along with Liz Cheney. But he has really shown true principle on these issues, on this cluster of issues on democracy and fighting back and pushing back against disinformation and lies about our election system that we've seen over the last 2 years or more. And so I was proud to receive his endorsement. He endorsed other Democrats as well around the country. His view, I think, is you cannot have election deniers in positions like this. So I was really, really privileged to get his endorsement. It means a lot. And it has a lot of credibility, I hope.
Steve Simon is joining us. He's the Secretary of State for the state of Minnesota. We should mention here, once again, early voting is going on. It's interesting to interview you because I'm interviewing you as a candidate, not as the Secretary of State per se. But we should mention there is a great website in Minnesota for people to go find out all the information they need about voting, correct?
Yeah, our office's website, the Office of Secretary of State website, is a really good one-stop shop. It's mnvotes.gov. We moved to .gov, although .org works too. It's mnvotes.gov, mnvotes.gov, and you can do multiple things there. You can find your polling place. You can find out who or what is on your ballot, in case you're wondering, hey, wherever you live, are we even voting on?
Uh-oh.
Your address, and boom, up comes a sample ballot. You can order a ballot to come to you at home, order that absentee ballot. And so there are multiple features on that website. We have materials, by the way, in 12 different languages. I'm very proud of that. And so we want to make it as simple and as accessible as possible. So that website, mnvotes.gov, is a good one-stop shop.
And for all the people listening in Wisconsin, you have a website, too, that helps you out. It's myvote.wi.gov. Myvote.wi.gov, same thing. Are you registered? How to get registered? Where your polling place is? How to vote? It's all listed there. Myvote.wi.gov and mnvotes.gov in Minnesota. Yeah, Mr. Secretary, this is as you're running across the state, and I know you're getting out there now. I've seen some of the pictures of you on the campaign trail. One of the things which is a bit of a concern is the rhetoric coming from the right now seems to be pointing a target at these local election officials. And in that debate, you made the point, it's like, we don't count the votes at the Secretary of State's office. These are locally counted. And right now, people that just want to force their candidate on others seem to feel as if they have the right to threaten, intimidate, scare people. I mean, you have built up this great network of volunteers that helps out every election cycle in this state. I think this is dangerous rhetoric we should not be encouraging in any capacity.
I agree. You know, we rely not only on the year-round elections administrators in counties and cities and townships, but also on the folks who step on election day as election judges. We need 30,000 people to step up to do that job on election day. And we get them, even in the worst of times, even in COVID, for example, in 2020. But nationwide, we have seen some threatening and menacing behavior directed at people who touch elections. Now, fortunately, in Minnesota, we're at a lower risk because we have really crystal clear laws about who can do what and who can be in a polling place. That's good. But we don't want the situation where, you know, when it comes to our full-time elections folks year-round, when they're subject to abuse. Now, just to be clear for your listeners, I draw my own line here. I totally, it's every citizen's right to shake a fist at someone in government, to use coarse language, to raise their voice, to just register their anger or disapproval on any issue. I think that's a First Amendment right. That's perfectly fine. I'm talking about stuff that crosses the line. I'll give you two Minnesota examples, although I won't name names or places. One elections administrator shared with me that a member of her staff was followed to her car in the parking lot after hours by someone who had an elections-related grievance of some kind. Okay, that's beyond just being mad, showing up at an office, yelling, being upset, registering your protest at something, which is protected by the First Amendment and should be, by the way. That crosses the line. How about another elections administrator in another part of the state who told me that she was called repeatedly on her home phone over the weekend by someone who had an elections-related grievance. Again, that seems to cross a line. That's what I mean, at least, by something that that can be threatening or menacing. So we don't want that. Our office is working with counties and cities and others on some of those security precautions, just so we can take the temperature down a little bit here. People can register their disapproval, their complaints, their protests, whatever, but that other stuff crosses the line, and we don't want that in Minnesota.
Your latest campaign ad, one thing I just want to briefly mention here is you say it clearly. Your whole goal has been to make voting easier and more accessible for all.
Yeah, it's about protecting the freedom to vote, and that's really been our best Minnesota tradition, across party lines, by the way. And we want to sustain that, and we can't afford to go backwards.
I'm very happy you're the Secretary of State. The reality is we got to be very honest about this. You're down to two candidates, really, and it's going to be one or the other, and it's very important. If people missed the opening statement, one of the things I said earlier, his opponent played an anti-Semitic video at the GOP convention, which got applause. And she has gone after minorities with bigoted statements, as well as also gone after the handicapped. It is an absolute disgrace that she is a candidate, but yet there she is on the ballot, and it's your choice. I want to drive as many people as possible to your campaign website, Mr. Secretary. If people would like to find out more on how they can help you get another term as the Minnesota Secretary of State, what's the website they should go to?
The website is SteveSimonMN.com.
SteveSimonMN.com. And while I'm mentioning it here too, mnvotes.gov, that's mnvotes.gov, and in Wisconsin, myvote.wy.gov. All the information you need to get voting there. Early voting going on right now, so get out there and vote. Mr. Secretary, it's an absolute privilege to be able to chat with you. Thank you very much, and all my best as you head into the final stretch of the election season.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Steve Simon, Secretary of State of the State of Minnesota. I'll tell you what. I got a fun story about him. I've known him for a while and just tells you about the integrity of this guy. I'll share that with you when I do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Live on Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, WTTN 1580 AM in Columbus, Bull Falls Radio WXCO 98.9 FM and 1230 AM in Wausau, and locally grown radio WFHR 1320 AM 97.5 FM, Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, and the flagship in Minneapolis, St. Paul, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Steve Simon is an absolutely outstanding individual. He's the Secretary of State of Minnesota. Sometimes I get really frustrated when I talk to Democrats who will come up to me and it's like the first thing that's like, I'm willing to work with the other side. And that's the first thing they say to me as the Democrat. I'm like, okay, so basically you're saying that you, as a Democrat, your first thing is the Republicans are right on a lot of things. And I'm like, okay, wait, stop. You can be a good Democrat who is more than willing to work with reasonable people from the opposing political party without sacrificing your democratic principles. You don't have to do that. Steve Simon is just a great example of this. He is beloved for his work on this by a lot of people, not because he's partisan, not because of any hijinks or anything like that. He's just really passionate about doing the job. The Secretary of State is a complicated job. It's a tough job. At times it's a thankless job, but the guy likes doing it and he does it really, really well. And he's been hauled in front of Republicans in the Minnesota government before to be chewed out. And he basically holds his ground against these people. He does a fantastic job. He is really good. Before he became Secretary of State, he was a House rep here in the state of Minnesota. He was actually my House rep. And this goes back to the days when I actually, at one point, voted occasionally Republican. We had moved back to Minneapolis from Iowa, and we'd bought our house, and we had our my son, Charlie, and this was in 2001. And so the election of 2022... 2002 came about,
and a guy named Jim Rhodes was running. Now, he was the Republican. Now, this, by the way, tells you how distance we have traveled here. He was a Republican that was in the first ring suburbs of Minneapolis-St. Paul. I mean, he truly was, he'd be a moderate Democrat today, easy. But he was a Republican, and he was our House rep, and he actually was a family friend. He'd, you know, my wife had known him, and we had enjoyed voting for him, and he was very moderate on a lot of issues. I mean, he felt about taxes and stuff like that, like a conservative, but he was very socially liberal. You kind of had to be able to be a representative, from the Republican Party in the metro area. But he, you know, and this is back when Republicans actually had some variance in their thought processes. And he was there, so we had a sign in our front yard. We had a sign that said, Democrats for Jim Rhodes. And Steve Simon was running against Jim Rhodes. And Steve comes up, and he knocks on the door, and here is this young-looking guy. And he says, I notice you have a Democrats for Rhodes. Can I ask you why you're going to vote for Jim Rhodes? And I said, well, you know, I said, mainly it's because he's family friend, but he does agree with us on a few things. And, you know, there were a few other issues, a few things that, you know, that we like Jim for. And in the next 15 minutes, he sat and talked with me and my wife and just basically put forward his policies, his vision, all these things he wanted to do. Why he feels as if I don't want to ruin family friends, but I think I need your vote. Talk for 15 minutes. We come, my wife and I are sitting there, and I look at her, and she's looking at me, and she's giving like those wide eyed looks. I was like, yeah, that's a good candidate. So it's like 2 weeks later, we're getting ready for the election, and I said to her, who are you voting for House Rep? And she goes, Steve Simon. I said, exactly. He was that good. He was that good. He's just passionate, caring, straightforward, honest. He's everything I wish every politician was. He's everything that I wish I was. He's just a great guy. And the fact that he is running against a rabid raccoon who's fighting over freaking drumsticks behind the local KFC at night, dear Lord, the crockpot Kim Crockett. Is the fact that that is not an 80-point race is an absolute embarrassment to the state of Minnesota, if you ask me, and our country, as a matter of fact, if I can be blunt. It is just, it's amazing to me. But this is why this is so important. And this, I'm just going to echo what Steve has said. And this goes for all the folks. You're listening in Wisconsin, from Milwaukee all the way over to Menominee, from you know, Superior down to Beloit. You're listening right now. Seriously, you got to get out and vote, because as much as it's easy to look at the clown car candidates some of these Republicans have, it is down to two candidates. And I have seen horrific candidates get shockingly close to winning in years where Democrats don't turn out to vote. I was talking about this yesterday with Stein. The elections are a simple math problem. They always are. And it's not about turnout per se. It's only about one side's turnout, Democrats. Because the Republicans are a consistent turnout number. They're constant. They are going to show up regardless of what's on the ballot. That is just who they are. So when you look at years where Barack Obama wins in 2008 or Joe Biden wins in 2020, what you've got there is an overwhelming amount of Democrats showing up to vote. When you have years like 2010, Trump, what you have is Democrats not showing up to vote. Republicans know this. The Republicans know this. That is why they spend as much money as possible to get you to not vote. And that is the worst thing you can do. You have to vote. You have to vote. The only way things change is if Republicans get voted out en masse. The fact that there's a very legitimate chance that the Senate will stay in the hands of the Democrats and the House is getting, you know, it's no guarantee the Republicans are going to win the U.S. House. This is a midterm election. The incumbent president is a Democrat. We are dealing with the post effects of the pandemic and the inflation and other issues. But the reality is that the Republicans are so freaking crazy. They're out there still today denying an election. We all know Trump lost. They're still out there defending people violently attacking the U.S. Capitol. And they sit there and they get rid of Roe v. Wade, and then they act as if we've never been 100% against abortion. You already know what they're going to do. You already know what the Republicans are going to do. They're going to take away every damn right you got, and that's just that. So, simple, easy. MyVote.wy.gov. MyVote.wy.gov. That's Wisconsin. MNVotes.gov. That's Minnesota. Get out there. Vote. And if you voted already, great. Call everyone you know and make sure they're voting. And drive them to these websites so they can get the information they need so that they can cast their vote and help the Democrats win come November. It's the Matt McNeil Show.
What you say, boy? You're trying to play coy?
Like broadcasting on the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, Lizzo there on that song there. I was at you've seen these things, the pumpkin things. They have them all over the place. It's a billion pumpkins out for the kids to enjoy, right? Have you seen one of those?
Yeah.
Minnesota Zoo's got one going on right now. I was down there last night. They had a Lizzo pumpkin. Oh, boy. I'm surprised. I could tell it was a Lizzo pumpkin because there were conservatives around it saying she wasn't qualified to be on a pumpkin because just like the flute thing. So, you know, it's just who they are. Actually, no, it was quite lovely pumpkin carving. It was quite nice. I have no problems. I am 1000% in love with Lizzo. Absolutely love her. She's one of my favorite people. True hero, a true hero, and just an amazingly talented woman. That flute, when she was playing the crystal flute, that was cool. That was really cool. The fact that it's made noise. How crazy are you as an individual, as an artist, that you say, I'm going to make a crystal flute and it's going to work? That's interesting. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I want to pick a fight, if I can. This is just me, because there's just a little peach nozzle down there in the Wisconsin 3rd District. This Derek Von Orden, Dirk Van Orden here. He said, "Mr. Orden, oh no, Orden, sorry, Mr. Orden here." He said some things here. This is some audio we have. It's about a minute long. Be prepared to be like, okay, who is this jackass? It's Derek Von Orden. Orden. God. Orden, not Organ. Organ? Organ. Von Orden. Orden, that's what he is. Organ. Anyway, Derek decided he wanted to let people know about what his Christianity tells him about the other side of the aisle. Let's play that little snippet of a tape, shall we?
God-fearing Christians who are Democrats. There's not a single God-fearing Christian that is a leftist, because those two things are incompatible. So this is why we should have known what's going on. Pull out your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7. By the way, my wife and I go to Bible Baptist Church, so we're good to go. So just listen to this for a second, and think about this in context of what we have not been doing. It's Matthew chapter 7, 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit.
We need to pay attention and listen to these people and quit pretending like they love this country. Because a lot of them just don't. That is a basic biblical principle.
Wow. Hey, first of all, to Derek Van Orden, screw you. How about I start with that? You absolute monumental jackass. As a veteran of the U.S. Army, I want your whiny little biatch ass in my face telling me that. Why don't you? No, come on, Derek. Come on, Oregon. Get up here. You come to me, you punk. You come tell me to my face as an Army vet, a disabled Army vet for that matter. You come to me and tell me that to my face, that I don't love this country. Do it. Come on. Are you chicken? Here, kitty, 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 kitty. I'm calling you out, Derek Van Orden. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out on a lot of different things here. First of all, how dare you start throwing around, you're not a real patriot. No, dude, just stop. There's a lot of people that served in the military who are Democrats. And every time you say this, you try to make it seem like, we're morally superior. No, you're not. Patriots don't constantly vilify their fellow countrymen for political purposes. That's what patriots don't do, Derek. No, seriously, I want Derek Van Orden, that little whiny little biatch, I want him up in my face telling me I don't love this country. I'm calling him out. I'm telling you, make sure, folks in Wisconsin, make sure he knows I would love to talk with him face to face and have him tell me to my face, a disabled Army vet, I don't love my country because I'm a big old leftist. But I want to go back to, okay, fine. Let's look past the patriotic patriotism thing and go to this. This was, once again, this is at a prayer breakfast. A prayer breakfast. Don't tell me that they are not weaponizing and militarizing the churches of this country. And I got a beaut of a story that comes back to that here in a second. There's not a single God-fearing Christian that's a leftist. By the way, funny story. And by the way, Derek, after you come here and try your, you know, biatch words to my face, which won't go well for you, I'm going to grab you by the nape of the neck and take you to my church, which has a lot of leftists in it, and you can get there in my church. It's a Lutheran church. You can go and tell them that there's no God-fearing Christians here, because they're going to love you. Come on, man. Seriously, Derek, come on up. I'll buy you a burger or something. Come on up here. Make you cry and go running back home. That's what I'll make you do. Make you cry. You just horrible person. You're a horrible person. Seriously, as a veteran of the U.S. Army, this little punk thinks he can go out and say stuff like this and that there's no consequences for it? Come on, man. I'm calling you out, Derek. Come on, Oregon boy. Come on, Orden. Orden. I'm going to screw that up a few times, I think. Orden, Oregon. Come on up here, man. Tell that to my face. Tell me I'm not loving this country. But let's get back to your religious, your little religious talk. First of all, I love this, the idea you grab a thing from the Bible. And once again, I want to make sure we understand what he just did there. The Bible doesn't say liberals. Oh, by the way, and the spoiler alert, this is about to get really ugly for Derek here, okay? The Bible doesn't have that quote and say, liberals are bad. The modern day Democrat, that's what I'm talking about with the evil fruit stuff. No, he's taken a biblical passage and he's applied his interpretation of it and tries to pass this off as what Jesus himself would have said. That's what it is. That is a heretic, okay? He is taking biblical passages, applying it to his personal villains, and then trying to pass this off as what Jesus wanted to do. Yeah, He did. He does that. Yeah. He's trying to. Like I could do that too. I could do that too. But I actually am a Christian, and I don't think it's right for me to take the Bible and start applying it to all the villains I have in politics because blah, 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 blah. Derek. But since you bring up the liberal stuff, your Bible, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think Derek, his Bible, has the Gospel of Matthew in it. I don't. I mean, the Gospel of Matthew is a hoot. Because, well, let me tell you what, and once again, time for Matt's religious disclaimer. You do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do. I'm a former Catholic. I'm now a practicing Lutheran. There you go. I go to church. I'm Christian. So, that being said, let me read to you Matthew 25, 35 to 46. For when I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king shall answer them, truly I say to you, as you do to the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, stranger, naked or sick in prison, and did not minister to you? And he will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did to it to one of the least of those, you did it not. As you did not do it to the least of those, you did not do it for me. And these will go away into the eternal punishment, but the righteousness into eternal life. There you go. So now let me go back to this, because this is, you know, gosh, if you read this Gospel of Matthew stuff, I mean, he sounds like a rig old liberal, doesn't he? I mean, liberty, 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 liberal. Let's see. You gave him food. Okay, it doesn't say anything about shame hoops or urine tests or, you know, making sure it's minimal or basically, you know, cutting it down because I think you're too fat. Anything like that. It just says if you're hungry, give them food. That's kind of always been my mentality. If they're hungry, give them a damn sandwich. Figure out how they got there after that. I was thirsty. You gave me a drink. By the way, funny story. Have you seen what the Republicans did to Flint, Michigan? Have you seen what the Republicans in their mismanagement did to Montgomery, Alabama? The water system down there? Jackson, Mississippi. What they did down there? Yeah. Not giving too many drinks out there. But you see, it's not our problem. You guys got to pick yourselves up by your own bootstraps. Funny story. Nowhere in the Gospel of Matthew does it talk about bootstraps. Nope. Naked, you clothed me. Sick, you visited me. Went to prison, you came to me. Righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when would you see this? And by the way, you know, I was a stranger. You welcomed me. Remember that one? Yeah, nothing about a border wall there. Nothing at all. It's not in there. So it would seem to me that most Republicans violate the direct teachings of Jesus. Because a reminder, the Gospel of Matthew is one of the four Gospels of the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They tell the actual story of Jesus, which means these are the direct teachings of Jesus. And if you are a Christian, Jesus means just a smidge of importance for you in the Christian faith. I know. So it would mean to me that you'd want to take advantage of them. But you know what? Derek, he doesn't seem to really, I guess his Bible doesn't have that because he's too out there ripping on the other side of the aisle. Oh, by the way, there's this little gem as well from Matthew 22, 37, 39. You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all thy soul and all with my mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second one is, like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Derek, you sinner. Oh, Derek, Mr. Oregon. You just sinned. You're at the prayer breakfast, and you're supposed to treat the other people nice, but you didn't do that. You were going to go out there and start using biblical terms to vilify your enemies, and yeah, burn time. You know, you're a horrible human being, Derek. So you want to come tell me I don't love this country? An army, a disabled army vet? Come on up. Come on up, Derek. I'm calling you out, you punk. Biatch. Seriously. Calling you out. Because not only are you a horrible patriot, you're a horrible American for doing something like that, you really, really suck at being Christian. You are a horrible Christian. No, seriously, I've looked at the Bible. I looked at what you're for. It's not even close. You suck at being Christian, Derek. Yeah, I'm kind of that guy. Yeah, don't you do that. Don't you do that. Don't you go on out there and start doing this. And you know what? My guess is he's wedding himself down in the third district. I don't want to go up there. I don't want to be confronted. Come on, Derek. Come on, man. You're in your little prayer breakfast. You got the big cojones to go out and say this stuff. Come on this station. Come tell me to my face. Come on, big man. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. 952-946-6205. That's the phone number. Give me Derek if he calls in. We'll take a break. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Broadcasting on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw in Waukesha, Milwaukee. Lake Air, WXCE 1260 in Amory. Air Support Radio 98.3 Oshkosh, 1100 AM, WISS in Berlin. And, of course, here on the flagship in Minneapolis, St. Paul, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. Let's go to the phone, shall we? Jake is in Milwaukee. He wanted to chime in on Orden. Gosh, I keep screwing that up. Hey, Jake, how are you doing?
Wow, that was a good rant.
I
appreciated it. You know, remember what they used to say, something special from Wisconsin? Well, we have something very special. And these are these right-wing idiots. But when he mentions patriotism, I think about, hey, what about all those Wisconsin people who are going to lie and be co-conspirators with Donald Trump to overturn the election? Huh?
Oh, well, I mean, they're not very patriotic at all.
No. I mean, why would someone who is so morally right would actually have to stoop to cheating and stealing an election to win?
Well, because...
I mean, shouldn't their ideas be good enough on their own?
Jake, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. And it's because he lost. spoiler alert, breaking news, Donald Trump still has not won the 2020 election. Yeah, but you see, that's the thing, is that it's, he's wearing one of those thin blue line baseball caps there because I support the cops. Well, not the Capitol Police or the FBI for that matter. You don't like those cops, do you? Those cops being murdered, that's okay for you, is it? I mean, when's Derek Von Orden going to go on out there and, Orden, God. Keep screwing that up. So similar. When's he going to go out and condemn the Capitol cops? Protect the Capitol? He's condemning them already. When's he going to go out there and protect them and say they shouldn't have been attacked by that traitorous mob that tried to overthrow the government? And when's he going to do that? When's he going to go on out there and say, you know what? Hey, the FBI is a major law enforcement organization in this country. I'm not going to vilify them. Not going to, are you? No, you're not, because you're a wuss. Has he called Patrick? I mean, has Derek called about wanting to come up here? No, and Patrick is shaking his head. No call from Derek Von Orden. Dream a little dream. Mark's in the sack, wanted to chime in. Welcome on in, Mark.
Well, thanks, Jake. Good point. You know, Van Orden's a traitor. But, I mean, these Republicans now apparently have embraced the gospel of Ayn Rand, who said you're supposed to put yourself before all others, and that if you give to others, you kind of and think that's important. You're just an emotional parasite, because your true goal in life is supposed to be to serve yourself above all others, setting family, you know, country, everything else aside, and... all that's important is yourself. Well, that's kind of a whole sociopathic thing there.
Well, and also, Mark, if I can bring up the point, Ayn Rand, they're big fans. And thanks, Mark. I appreciate the phone call. Ayn Rand kept it secret that she took government help at the end. She as she was out there saying that the government never did anything good, she violently kept it secret that she did not get any government assistance, which she eagerly took at the end, because that's who they are. You see, it's not about, and it's all about for them and nothing for anyone else. They get the benefits. And for all these Republican voters, if you think that they're going to welcome you into the country club, you're a freaking idiot. I'm serious. You're a freaking idiot. You're only a useful tool to keep them in power. You know, Donald Trump didn't want to be necessarily around you guys. He's not one of you. God, go to his country club and try to get in there. Just say, I'm one of his biggest fans. I was going to come on in here and just hang out at the buffet and take a look at some of those classified documents. He's not going to let you in. They're not going to let you in. Going back to religion, by the way, here. Here's something that's a little terrifying. The former Vice President Mike Pence claimed on Wednesday on Fox Business, mind you, the First Amendment to the United States Constitution does not protect Americans from having other people's faiths forced upon them. Wow. Congress shall make no law representing the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise of or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right to people to peaceably to assemble or the petition of the government for their redress of grievances. It states, in fact, there are no references to a supreme being anywhere in the Constitution because the founding fathers were adamantly opposed to a centralized religious power, as well as requiring individuals to subscribe to any particular denomination. But this is the new modern Republican mentality, is that the Second Amendment means you do not have the right to not have guns in your face all the time. That's not what it says, but that's their interpretation, that you have to like the guns. Here now, you've got it now. It's the First Amendment. It says freedom of religion or not to have religion if you don't want it. I mean, it's basically very clear there. But now they're saying, no, they want you to, we want to be able to force religion in your face. Well, this is where they're going. And it's because they're starting to lose the populace. Their voters are dying off. And trust me, take a look at Generation Z. They are not Republicans. They are not. Brian is in Kenosha. He's a recovering Republican. Brian, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you. The reason I describe myself as a recovering Republican, I've been a Republican my entire life. I wasn't even a intern for a congressional Republican back in college. It took Donald Trump to expose to me the ugly underbelly of the Republican Party. And there are still a lot of Republican policies that I hold to. But as far as morality goes, it just incenses me that the modern day Republican Party, what it's become, the party of Trump, is just so immoral and hypocritical. And I just wanted to thank you for what you said, because as a Christian myself, I just cannot understand how some of these people can go to church on Sunday and hear the message of Jesus and then turn around and participate in insurrection and hate speech and racism.
Well, and Brian, listen to that. What he was saying during that thing, he's at the prayer breakfast and taking biblical things and using it to politically attack his opponents. I mean, that's what they are. They don't want religion. They want a bully. That's what they want. And Brian, you and I imagine could talk. You know, if you still have conservative views, we could talk about what's the value of funding education on this level, in this capacity. You know, how much should we put forward of the tax dollars to preserve the environment? Where's the value, and how do we, you know, disperse the money for, say, broadband across the state of Wisconsin or the state of Minnesota? We can have these discussions and still have a disagreement, but also still be trying to work to the same side. That's not the modern Republican. The modern Republican is about just forcing their way on everyone else.
Absolutely. The modern Republican Party has nothing to do with policy anymore. It has to do with, as you said, bullying, enforcing their version of morality. It is scary to me as a student of history to watch what is happening and to be able to legitimately compare it to autocratic societies that we've seen.
The rising of fascist regimes. Brian, thank you very much. Brian in Kenosha. The rising of fascist regimes. It is, you know, and it's not, I'm not specifically talking about one. I'm just saying that when you get to the point where patriotism and the Bible are being used to vilify all your political opponents, isn't that how the road to fascism is paved? I think that's actually a statement, isn't it? It is. Oh, Van Orgen. Orton. God, I mean, how many times am I going to screw that up? Oh, spoiler alert, a lot. Hey, it's not my, I mean, never mind. I'll get to that later. Devil Radio coming up, hour two in Minneapolis up next as well. Hour two of the show, AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Matt and Patrick here. Any calls from Derek Von Orden, the Republican down in the Wisconsin 3?
We have gotten zero calls from that.
952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Come on, Derek. You're going to question my patriotism and my Christian faith? I'm going to make you do it to my face. So come on up here. I'd love to chat with you about that. 952-946-6205. So what you're going to hear basically is our goal is to get as many Democrats on the day as possible over the next few weeks, especially in race in districts where it's, you know, we need to get out there and get the big turnout for the DFL to carry that district. Minnesota Senate District 36 is one of those districts. Heather Gustafson, kind enough to join us again as Democrat of the day to talk about her campaign for the state Senate. Hi, Heather.
Hi, how are you guys?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing? How's it been going up there?
Yeah, so busy, really, really busy, but good. Everything is going well. We're talking to as many people as we can. We're, of course, door knocking as much as possible. And we're now, it's just getting out the vote, making sure that we get everybody to show up. We're still reaching out to as many people as we can, still having the conversations that are, you know, necessary to sort of find out what is going on in our community, what do people care about, and how can we help. So, but it is busy. It is nonstop. So we hope that everybody will dive in.
Centerville, Circle Pines, Lionel Lakes, Gem Lake, North Oaks, Vadna Sites, White Bear Lake, White Bear Township, and Birchwood Village, as that's what's up in Senate District 36. So basically, 35E north of 694 all the way up to the Forest Lake, basically almost up to the Forest Lake split up there. So you've got it's a large territory. Have you had a lot of door knocking? You said you've gotten out and gotten to most of the community. How's that been going?
Good. I mean, I think just myself alone, I've knocked over 6,000 doors
nice.
Since we started, but our volunteers are out in full force as well. And I apologize. I'm right by a railroad track. So, a little bit lost. We're knocking on as many doors as we possibly can. And it's going well. I think that was part of the strategy all along was that, a lot of people in our district had never had their door knocked on. A lot of Democrats in particular had felt sort of like disengaged and ignored because our district just went through, a period of time where either due to COVID or just, other things, we removed ourselves a little bit from being an active part of the district. Mm-hmm. But we're back and we're talking to people and a lot of them have never had their door knocked on before and it's working. We think it's working and makes a difference.
Well, and as you say that, reminder, that means no Republicans knocked on the door. That means you're there. That's giving a good impression. I think that's the important part. Door knocking is, as far as campaigns go, it's old school, but it works. If you can knock on every door in the district, you're going to win. You really do. It's that simple.
Yeah, it is. And I think that is really where we're trying to reach out and get people engaged and not just like the public, of course, like our community, that's number one, but also people who are paying attention and interested but just haven't for whatever reason decided to sign up and door knock or volunteer. And that's really what we're trying to get people to do. If everybody listening right now donated 2 hours in the next, week and a half to door knocking, either in our district, which I would love, or in whatever local district you're at, the amount, the voter turnout would be high. We would have higher engagement. We'd have more people paying attention. It would mean victories in places that we, might not see otherwise. So we're asking just everybody to just put in, 2 hours between now and November 8th in your local district. Come to our district if you're in one of those districts that you think is probably pretty safe, then come up to our district and help us out. Mm-hmm. We've got shifts I was going to say round the clock, but that's not true. there is a cutoff. But every day we offer several different shifts and bring a friend, go out for dinner afterwards to reward yourself. You know, make it a thing that you can do with other people who kind of share your values and are also just feeling anxious about what's coming up or feel like you want to do more. We would love that, and we would welcome you with open arms. So,
Heather, yeah. Heather, I want to give you credit because that is one of the smartest things I've heard this political season. She's exactly right. And if I can actually piggyback one little thing on there, and this is me saying this and not you, it's great that you are in these really safe Democratic districts. I am. Cheryl Yukim doesn't even have a Republican challenger. Ron Latz, I don't think, has a Republican challenger. I'm in a relatively safe district. It's great if you want to help out the local person. That's fine. But if you're in a district which is pretty much a guaranteed slam dunk DFL win, you need to get into district like Heather's district. You need to get up there. You need to get into these secondary and tertiary suburbs. These are lean D districts. These are DFL lean districts all around the metro. But if we don't get up there and knock on all these doors, and that's not just up in White Bear and up in Lana Lakes and all that area, but in Lakeville, if you're getting Maple Grove, you're out in Woodbury, the entire metro area, you got to get into these outer suburbs, and you got to knock on these doors. And she's right. 2 hours. That's all it'll take. A 20-minute drive out to the district, knock on some doors for 2 hours, grab a little dinner, head on back home. It's that simple, and it really does an incredible amount to get that vote out. I was going to ask you, from your door-knocking experience, have you gotten any idea of how many people in your district, kind of roughly guesstimating here, have already voted?
No, I don't know, you know, in particular. We do know that our files, you know, refresh fairly quickly. I think if you early vote, which we encourage you to do, if that's something that you're okay doing, then go out and do that. And then it usually takes about 24 hours. And it's sort of an incentive that we like to tell people too. Like, hey, if you're going to vote early, if that was part of your voting plan, that's great. And it'll also like remove you from a lot of like people knocking on your door. And it'll sort of like let you kind of get off of that list. And so sometimes people are motivated by that a little bit. But, also it's just, you know, we are more than happy to help you find out where your early voting location is. A lot of people have questions, especially like maybe if they're new to the area or if they're a college kid or, you know, did they get remarried and they had their names changed or whatever the thing is. Like, we can help you answer those questions on the door as well. If you're looking for a specific number, I don't know that.
Well,
but I do know that it is something that a lot of people are doing. And it is something that, you know, if that is something you're comfortable doing, go do it. It is easy. It's safe. It's, you know, it's usually a place that's within a few miles of you. And so it's, you can vote in person, in early vote in person. If you still like the in-person experience, you can do that.
I was talking to Secretary of State Steve Simon last hour. And, you know, we do it so easily here. And it's mnvotes.gov. mnvotes.gov that's where you'll find all the information on this. And the reality is that This is a great way for you to vote. And I don't care who you are. Anyone can vote this way. And this is one of the great things about Minnesota is we make it easy to vote. You can get out there and you get that vote in. And, you know, a lot of people, it's a Tuesday. Sometimes it's a little tough to get out and vote. This is pain free. You can go to your city hall. Most of them, it's just a city hall. You go in there, fill out the ballot. You don't have to worry about waiting in a long line most of the time. It's easy and simple, and I think it's a great way for people to get people out and voting, because not only do we need to make sure we remind people to get out there and volunteer and help out these campaigns, especially in these tougher DFL districts, but as well, it's also you got to vote, because let's face it, elections come down to DFL turnout. It really does. Republicans just turn out the same numbers. If the DFL turns out in big numbers, DFL wins. It's just that true.
Right. And I think it's mnvotes.org. Just want to make sure that the website's right. unless maybe it is .gov.
No, he did correct himself. He said, well, both work.
Okay, good. Well, that's good to know. Okay.
mnvotes.gov is the current one, though.
Okay, perfect. But no, we also say, too, like a lot of people are saying, oh, I just like the feeling of, you know, election day. And that's great. The most important thing is that you vote. But another thing you can do if you vote early is then you can encourage everybody else to get out and vote, too. And you can sort of join our efforts in that, because it is something that we do need help with. And so, yeah, I mean, again, 2 hours between now and November 8th, I think everybody can carve that out. I know I'm pretty busy myself, but we can all find like 2 hours to sort of like take all of the things that we're thinking about and we see or we post online and actually bring them to voters in districts that are flippable, that are, you know, places where we can win if we get people to turn out and if we get people to show up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I always say it's great. It's great to go online and post about something and you know, support democracy on your Twitter, your Facebook, but it's a whole lot more impactful if you can actually get out there, knock on doors, and have those conversations with people.
That's
how you're going to reach most of them.
I'll be more blunt. Your memes don't do a lot. I mean, okay, knocking on a door, voting, that does a lot. Calling all your family and friends and saying, do you know where to vote? Do you know how to vote? Yeah. Are you registered to vote? That's an important thing, too. Those are what count. Fun memes, great, but if you really want to make a difference, there's action that needs to happen. I'm going to take go ahead.
Well, it's because it's more meaningful conversation. So you're not going to door, and now you can actually engage with somebody, and everything is a little bit more civil, it is polite. You can have real conversations. You can actually, like, you know, talk with people and get to know them and find out where they're at and what their values are, and usually their values line up with ours. So it's, you know, these are all good conversations and a whole lot more impactful than, like you said, a meme.
I'm going to spin the wheel of endorsements. I'm looking at your webpage. I'm just going to randomly pick one here. I was drawn to this one, the DFL Veterans Caucus. I'm drawn to this because there's some clown over in Wisconsin that basically says you can't be a liberal and be patriotic. I'm a disabled Army vet, so oh the heck with that. You got this endorsement. Let's talk a little bit about veterans issues in your mind. What do you want to champion when you get over to St. Paul?
Yeah, well, one of the things that we've been working with, I've worked with the White Bear American Legion and their auxiliary, but I am actual a member in the Lionel Lakes American Legion auxiliary, and I care deeply about what happens with veterans issues. And one of the things that we've learned the most about in the last couple of years is how, just like with everybody else, mental health is a huge concern. And it's something where, you know, COVID and the shutdown, and then just like the amount of mental health availability and accessibility had increased, the need for it increased, and yet the resources had sort of decreased. And a lot of people felt that in different areas, but for our vets, that's a big thing. That's a big concern. Also, any amount of homelessness in the veteran community is unacceptable. Absolutely. And there are things that we can do right off the bat to help them that, you know, you can't depend on the state Senate or the state House to, you know, solve every single problem. But that is one that we really could do with some funding and resources and support. We can actually like eliminate that completely. Mm-hmm. So those are two things right off the top of my head, but I would encourage people. I don't know that people know this a lot, but, we over the summer and or the spring, I'm sorry, worked a little bit with some projects with the VA hospital. Mm-hmm. And there are all sorts of things that people can do to volunteer, you know, time or services or supplies, of course, money, whatever. But a lot of like easy volunteer options that wouldn't take a lot of time out of your week, but would really mean a lot to some of our current vets who are living in the VA hospital and other places as well. So there are so many things that we could be doing more. And I think, you know, it can start with the legislature, but it certainly could be things that people can take into action right now, too.
Heather, by the way, and I couldn't agree with you more. I was just over at the VA hospital not that long ago over by Fort Snelling. And one of the things I'll say is this, is that if you do get to St. Paul, let's make it to where you can get, you know, for every hour you get out there, you can take a little bit of a tax, get a tax break a little bit for that, for helping out. Because I think we should be encouraging people to get out there, because helping out these veterans, whether it's helping out in the hospital or visiting people or just sitting down and chatting with them, these are things that anyone can do. You said it's really easy. There's a lot of great veterans out there that would love to have you stop on by and give them a hand with something. And I think that if we can incentivize that a little bit with the government and say, you know what, hey, if you're willing to do this, we're willing to give you a little bit of a tax break on that. I would love to see something like that happen.
Well, right. I mean, some of the things are so easy that they're about like a couple of hours a week checking in and doing phone conversations or Zoom calls, and just to like have conversations or play a game of cards. I mean, they can be other things too, but I mean, some things as simple as that are things that we could all do right now. And you're right. If we can give people a little bit of an incentive, fantastic. That'd be fine. You know, I think that's taxpayer money well spent. But I do think that mental health has to be a priority for schools, for our first responders, for our vets, and hopefully I hear that across the board, no matter who I talk to along the political spectrum. So I really have high hopes that that is something that the two parties can come together on. Fingers crossed. We'll see.
you only hope. Okay, the last thing I'll mention here really quick is, and it's just every Republican keeps screaming abortion's not on the ballot. We do have already people saying they're going to introduce bills on the federal level. Even though the Republicans keep saying that abortion is protecting the Constitution, it is not. Dovi Gomez was the ruling that preserved it. That was referred to there. But a Minnesota government of Republicans could put new Supreme Court justices on the Minnesota Supreme Court. A Republican attorney general could fight this and sue people and try to stop this from happening. Regardless of what they say, they're the ones that took away women's rights in June when that Supreme Court got rid of Roe v. Wade. And as much as they're trying to say it's not on the ballot now, it clearly is, and it's something that I think that if for no other reason, it's only the beginning for some of these people. They're going to go after other rights, whether that's gay marriage, contraception, whatever, but this is, they clearly have an agenda, and this is our line in the sand. We have to stop it here.
Oh my gosh, like, you just know that there was some sort of a room where they all got together and they were like, how are we going to combat this? And we're going to say, oh, we're going to tell everybody it's not on the ballot, because they all came out and said the same thing, like, within, you know, a few days. So you just know that that was like part of the strategy, but it doesn't work. And you can look it up and you know, like, even if you think you're in a quote safe blue state that's going to, like, you know, make it or codify it, it doesn't matter, because if people like Lindsey Graham get their way, they're going to put in a federal rule, and then it doesn't, you know, we're back to where we were. Plus, we know that, right? We know that the, like, this is just, you know, a setback for them. This isn't like, I mean, you know, the decision was seen as a victory for them, but the idea that, like, it might mobilize the other side to vote against them, I don't know that that's enough for them to go, whoa, maybe we should, like, keep reproductive rights as part of a healthcare plan. But it is on the ballot 100%. And I think if they're asking any of us to trust them, that is a risk I'm not willing to take. And I just want to say, too, like, the two things we hear about the most are public safety and abortion when we're out on the doors. And, you know, we just talked about reproductive rights there for a second, but I also want to push back on public safety, because I actually really love to have this conversation with people. Democrats put forward a public safety amendment to the tax bill that would have given millions of dollars to local police departments that they could have used over a period of, I believe, 3 years. And it would have given them local control. So if they wanted to use it for recruitment or mental health services or community services or whatever they needed in order to keep all of our streets safe, they could have had that. And my opponent, along with other GOP senators, voted no. So I think, like, those are conversations that we need to be having with people so that they understand that, like, a lot of these things that they're pushing on the other side are just campaign slogans, and they're not necessarily actual policies. And, you know, we have to call them out on that.
Well, and it should be noted, they voted no so that they could campaign against Democrats for not getting public safety passed. They killed the bill themselves, so then they can attack the other side. And that is, you nailed it. Absolutely perfect. Oh, Heather, I want to see you in St. Paul. I really do. All right. Let's go back to what you said there. You need 2-hour shifts filled. Folks, you're in Minneapolis, St. Paul. We need to get up to 36 here. Once again, it's just north of 694 at the 35E corridor heading up towards nearly the Forest Lake split. It's easy to get to. It's a great area. I've been up there a lot myself. And, you know, you need door-knocking shifts from here till Election Day, right?
Right. Absolutely.
All right. What's the website should people go to if they want to get in touch with your campaign?
VoteForGus.com. So just VoteForGus, GUS.com.
VoteForGus.com. I'll link to everything a little bit later on. And once again, you can go vote, early voting on right now, mnvotes.gov, mnvotes.gov, or ORG, both work at this point. Heather Gustafson, Senate District 36, Democrat of the Day. Heather, thank you very much. Anything you need, all my best as we get ready for the final push here for the election.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Heather Gustafson. I like Heather. I want to see Heather in St. Paul. So we've got work to do. And she's right. She's absolutely right. Donate. Volunteer. Vote. Make sure everyone you know is voting. That's all that matters right now. That's all that matters. And if everyone who's listening to me right now in the Minneapolis-St. Paul metro area gets out of their safe district and goes into one of these secondary or tertiary suburb districts and goes and door knocks out there, the Democrats will win a lot of those seats. There you go. And it'd be nice to have a DFL House and a DFL Senate. It would be really nice. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. I like Heather Gustafson. She makes a good point, though. Memes are fun and all that, but that doesn't do a squat. If you think you're doing something by posting a meme on social media, you're not. You're not. You're not. You've got to get out and door knock. You've got to go out and volunteer. You got to go on out, whether that's phone banking, whether that's making a donation. And it comes down to voting. It just comes down to voting. If the DFL votes in numbers, if they get out there and vote, guess what? Democrats win. Republicans, it's a constant. They just, the same amount of people will always vote every time. And that Republican friend of yours who lives out in the suburbs is like, I'm sorry. I can't go along with this January 6th stuff and that kooky stuff that Jensen was saying about COVID. And, you know, I'm sorry. And taking away women's rights, I'm not for it. That guy gets into the voting booth. He's voting Republican. Straight ticket. And he's doing it with a smile on his face. Da, 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 da. He is. Because that's who the Republicans are. You don't try to win over a handful of Republicans. That's not going to happen. It just comes down to the Democratic base and independents who are breaking right now. I was looking at another story last night. Independent voters so far in early voting are breaking hard to the Democrats. It's about turnout. Every Republican is going to show up on Election Day and vote. It comes down to voting. It's really that simple. Let's go. Steve is in Minnetonka. Well, let's bring Steve on in. Welcome on in, Steve. Thanks for holding.
Hey, you just absolutely have to look at a segment from Last Word with Lawrence O'Donnell last night.
Mm-hmm.
He was interviewing Katie Porter, and he showed a thing of her in front of Congress interviewing this guy who's an economist. And she says, well, what percent of inflation is just because corporations can do it? And the guy kind of hesitates for a moment, but he says, well, since the beginning of COVID, corporations have just been raising their prices because they can. 54% of the inflation is just corporations raising prices because they can.
Well, and this is, and Steve, thank you very much. I posted this earlier. Someone put this up there. Shell Corporation reported profits of $9.5 billion in the third quarter. Billion in the third quarter compared to just $4.1 billion the same quarter last year. That's not inflation. Okay? If they're doubling their profit margins, this is not inflation. It's good old-fashioned greed. And I trust me when I say this, every Republican out there is patting themselves on the back going, hey, 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 get them. Because they think that that's great. They think that that's great. They're not going to do a damn thing to rein in those costs. I want to repeat that. $9.5 billion in the third quarter for Shell Corporation. $9.5 billion. It's not inflation. It's just plain, good old-fashioned greed. Republicans will scream it's inflation, but it's just greed. Because if it was inflation, will they be making a profit? They might. But it sure wouldn't be doubling their quarterly profits, over doubling their quarterly profits 1 year to the next. That is just grabbing as much money from the American worker and jamming it in their pockets. And reminder, I want to remind something. When the federal government gives out, checks during COVID, these corporations know that. So they jack up their prices because they say, well, they just got a $1,000 check. That check's really ours. That's not for them. That's for us. So they basically find ways to add on. I was looking at, I was going to make up some goulash You know, goulash, you know, the elbow macaroni, a little ground beef in there, tomatoes, tasty. A little cheese, delicious. I went and bought, it was like it was supposed to get, it was a 32-ounce can of a sauce. Not only did I not find a 32-ounce can of sauce, I found a 29-ounce can. Who in the hell needs a 29-ounce can of sauce? But I guarantee you, they're saving money on the size of the can. They're saving money on the amount of product that they're putting into it. They're getting on out there, and they're charging you 20 cents more for less product. That's greed. Plain, good old-fashioned greed. And they said that when you get money, it's really theirs. And they're taking it. And then they're, it's inflation. Oh, by the way, I need to go buy my 19th vacation home. It's inflation. Darn you, Joe Biden. Where's my 47th jet ski? Oh, inflation. Come on, man. It's good old-fashioned greed. And I wish someone had the guts to pull that number out, which they can, and find the business, for God's sakes. They're all having record profits. And go to Scott Jensen. And say to him, you know, inflation is bad. You say inflation is bad, but here is this corporation that made twice as much money in profit. That's not inflation. That's greed. And watch him look glassy-eyed. Inflation bad. That's all he'll do. You should call these guys out on that. Because that's all it is. It's greed. Encouraged by the Republican Party of the United States. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. I got to bring back the Jesse impression comes back. Oh, boy. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. I gotta share this story just because. Dude, you and I have talked this year about ATV accidents and how many people. I think we've got to be over 40 people in the state of Minnesota dying from ATV accidents this year. I got to believe so. A woman was killed in an ATV crash in central Minnesota on Tuesday evening. Kendio High County Sheriff's Office said the crash was reported just after 5:30 p.m. on the 26,000 blocks of 40th Street Northeast in Burbank Township. A neighbor had found the 65-year-old Cynthia Fester of rural Belgrade with significant life-threatening injuries alongside the road. Life-saving measures were performed in the scene, but she was pronounced dead. The crash remains under investigation. How many ATV accidents have we had that have been deaths? I mean, okay. This is – okay. I know that there's a lot of people that have UTVs and ATVs and stuff like this, but it's not that many. And it would seem to me if you're upset about deaths in Minnesota, I would be – considering we talked earlier this, I think it was 2 months ago, about the new numbers on alcohol-related deaths and how that's now actually a top 10. A preventable problem is a top 10 cause of death in Minnesota. Just drinking too freaking much and the various ways you can die around that. But ATVs, my God, they're just the death rate on ATVs just seems to be going through the freaking roof. But because it's not black guys in North Minneapolis – the Minnesota Republican Party won't say a damn thing about it. And the sad thing is many of these people are dying out in these strongly red districts. These are their constituents. And they just do not freaking care. It's unbelievable. Just another one. Another one. Unbelievable. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's been a while since I've did it. Jesse Ventura. I'm a little bit rough around the edges here. That's right. Jesse returns, former Minnesota governor, and still one of my favorite moments ever in the original Predator movie, has endorsed Governor Tim Walz for re-election. That's right. On Friday, Walz and his running mate, Governor Peggy Flanagan, announced Ventura's endorsement ahead of next month's election. In his endorsement, Ventura, who governed as an independent from 1999 to 2003, said that while endorsements of candidates are computer problems, sir. That's just what it happens, sir. He said that while endorsements of candidates from major parties are rare for him, this year's election proved too important. As an independent statesman, I don't believe in the major political parties. Since leaving office, I rarely endorsed a candidate for office in Minnesota or for any political persuasion, Ventura said in a statement. But this election is too important. That's why I'm endorsing Governor Tim Walz for reelection. Ventura went on to praise Walz's performance over his first term, including the handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. He also raised alarms about what he called threats to the electoral process and abortion rights. Our democracy is under attack. Almost 2 years ago, the former president and his cronies spread the big lie and sent seditionists to invade the U.S. Capitol on January 6th to stop the certification of ballots in the election of President Joe Biden. And now women's rights are under attack across the country. Here in Minnesota, Tim is committed to standing up for the rights of women to access abortion and reproductive health care. Walz thanks Ventura for the endorsement in a statement. I am honored to have the endorsement of Jesse Ventura. Jesse is a respected independent leader who cares deeply about our state, and he knows what it takes to be governor. Ventura previously hosted a TV series called Conspiracy Theory, in one episode of which he suggested 9/11 was a government inside job. He also attracted controversy for his links to Russia by hosting The World According to Jesse on Russian state TV, although this was pulled following Russia's invasion of the Ukraine. Walz's Republican opponent, former state senator Scott Jensen, has recently been endorsed by former President Donald Trump, who, and by the way, once again, that was a, whoa, hey, sure, it's great, we're not so focused on endorsements right now, please, for the sanctity of mankind, don't associate me with Donald Trump, please don't do that. Yeah. Not exactly a welcome in open arms. Not a, hey, thanks, Donald. None of that. I didn't see any of that in the Jensen statement. Hey, thank you, Mr. Former President. Trump has typically favored candidates who have made false claims about fraud in the 2020 election and who have supported efforts to overturn the results. While Jensen hadn't made those claims outright, he's avoided questions about the election's validity. In the primary, Jensen voiced support for abortion ban in Minnesota, but in a recent debate, he didn't express his own views, but insisted the views issue wasn't on the ballot this election, agreeing that Minnesota has its own abortion protections via Doe v. Gomez, which, once again, I want to make sure I take a quick moment, if I can. If I can. To point out, there is nothing in the state constitution that defends abortion. What has happened is in the court case Doe v. Gomez, the Minnesota Supreme Court ruled that abortion was protected. As a matter of fact, it ruled abortion was even protected even more than Roe v. Wade in the state of Minnesota. But that didn't enshrine it in the Constitution. That's the lie the Republicans kind of keep wanting to run with, that this is somehow not on the ballot because we can't touch it. Oh, they could touch it. I guarantee you. The governor could sign and try to do executive orders. They'll tie it up in the courts. The attorney general, if Schultz wins, I guarantee you he will try. I guarantee he will try hard to, at the very least, prosecute people coming to Minnesota for abortions. I mean, that's kind of the impression I get from the guy. He was on the board of an extremist anti-abortion group, for God's sakes. I don't trust any of the Republicans in the House and the Senate. I don't. I mean, I have a feeling that, as a matter of fact, if you go out into rural Minnesota and in these very red districts, they're out there running right now with the, yep, we're going to pass an abortion ban. That's what they're saying. There are Republicans in outstate Minnesota who are saying they are going to ban abortion in Minnesota. So who do you believe? The guy that's trying to win just enough votes in the metro area to basically try to win this thing? Or the people who have... The guy, by the way, the guy who was an extreme anti-abortion zealot for a long time until all of a sudden it didn't become palatable for the general population to be an extreme anti-abortion zealot. Then and only then did he put forward this narrative that he wasn't going to touch anything. On the other side, you have the Democrats who've been fighting for abortion rights. They have. So the question I have for you is simple, this. I'll quote the fantastic line from Heather Gustafson. I don't trust them. I can't trust these guys.
And I don't think you can, too. I just do not think you can. And regardless, you do have, right now, Lindsey Graham promising that he will bring up a nationwide abortion ban in the federal government. So regardless of where you're at, if you've got a House member or a senator up for election, well, you better be voting Democrat because they're basically saying that they're going to get rid of it for everyone. What I've said, and I said this before when Lindsey Graham brought this up, what's going to be hilarious is the Supreme Court, who basically tried to argue as they dismantled Roe v. Wade that this should be a states' rights issue. The same exact Supreme Court saying, oh, well, the states don't have a right to turn down the federal law. That's just the way it is. I see. So it comes down to it's that simple. Jesse Ventura, I mentioned Kinzinger endorsing Secretary of State Simon. The Gabby Giffords, or not Gabby Giffords, who is the Tulsi Gabbard? That's what I'm thinking of. Tulsi Gabbard. She's the what seemed to be a Russian plant within the DFL or the Democratic Party. She has left the Democratic Party. Oh, geez. Crying at night into the pillow. Just crying at night into the pillow. When will Tulsi come back? Oh, never good. All right. But she's endorsed a few Republicans, but that's, pretty much anyone with sanity in their mind has gone for the Democrats. And I want to repeat another thing I've said before when it comes to this election, that quite literally when it comes to Republican policy, the only thing they've got is to scare you into voting for them. And if that's all that they've got, are they really worth voting for? I will say this too. There has been multiple times in the last 3 days where Republicans are starting to call into question the election already, which makes me wonder if they're starting to see numbers, internal numbers that say they're going to lose and lose badly. Because, if there's a decent chance you're going to win, would you call into question the election before the elections happen? No. But I have seen Republicans across the country start making the argument, this election is probably really fraudulent. I don't think that's the case. Minnesota's top election official says he's not aware of any specific credible threats to targeting the state's midterm elections, but local and state officials remain on alert. The FBI and Homeland Security issued two warnings about threats to election workers and voter intimidation earlier this month. The FBI singled out states that have experienced public disputes, recounts, and audits in 2020, including Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Minnesota was not listed, though. Secretary of State Steve Simon, by the way, if you missed the interview earlier, we had that at the beginning of the 3 o'clock hour. We'll have that on the SoundCloud page, a podcast for you. Steve was kind enough to join us to talk about his campaign. He told Axios there's less overall risk in Minnesota than there is in other places. The FBI's warning compels us to be ready for those things wherever we can. Earlier this year, the Secretary of State's office expanded the role of its cybersecurity navigator, a former naval officer who has worked in intelligence and also focused on physical election security. The goal, Simon said, is to make sure that the people administering elections are safe. On the local level, election workers at a number of county and municipal offices have participated in de-escalation of security training offered by Division of Department of Homeland Security. We are certainly keeping an eye on the nation's temperature going into this midterm, which is obviously very polarized, said Christian Cartwright, the elections manager for the city of Rochester. Election workers in Hennepin and Ramsey counties have also been offered security-related training. The best option is just listen to make people feel heard, said Crow Wing County Administrator Tim Howell, whose office and local government have been inundated with fraud claims from local activists. Folks don't expect to get their way all the time, but they expect to be heard. Unlike other states, Minnesota law limits activities at and around polling places. Each major party is only one observer inside or with 100 feet of the voting site. Those rules may prevent major conflicts or disruptions on election day, Simon said. So once again, I want to make sure we understand this because this is the state law. Minnesota law limits the activities at and around polling sites. Each major party is allowed only one observer inside or within 100 feet of a voting site. So, and I don't believe that they can talk to you. I don't believe that that person can look at someone else and say, you can't vote. Let me see your ID. All they can do is observe. So if you are at an election polling place, and when they say this about the 100 feet of a voting site, that doesn't mean like if the voting site's 100 feet inside the building, they can be at the doors of the building. No. They can't be within 100 feet of the doors. So if you go to an election site this election cycle and there's some MAGA nutbag sitting out there going, you know, you basically, you know, call the cops because he's not supposed to be there. He's breaking the law. He's breaking the law. I got to tell you the truth. I am very concerned that this Republican rhetoric is going to cause someone to go in and start shooting someplace up. Then all of a sudden, these same Republicans who have gleefully pushed this rhetoric was like, well, I didn't mean for someone to start murdering people. I was just saying their rights, their country, everything was being stolen from them by those people. I don't know where you got the idea I was encouraging violence. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Final segment when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Oh, Pete Stauber's got a thing. I stand with Kim Crockett for Secretary of State. Wow. Hey, Petey, do you remember that anti-Semitic video she played at the GOP convention that everyone applauded? I do. Hey, Petey, do you remember the comment where she said if you're handicapped, you shouldn't be able to vote? Yeah, I do. But you stand by her. Stand by her. 100%, right? Yeah. I would love to see Stauber get knocked out. That would be good times. And I'll tell you what, Jen Schultz is up there running a heck of a campaign. So if you can get up to 8 and help out at all. And by the way, 8's not that far away from the metro area. It's just in the north of us. If you get the chance to get up there and help her out, that'd be fantastic. 952-946-6205. So I want to – one last thing here that I wanted to make sure I point out because it's funny. Whenever you get these Republicans that try to sound Christian, they try to sound Christian. And like I said, that's Van Orden guy, Derek Orden, who's running down the Wisconsin 3rd. He goes out there. He goes to a prayer breakfast and he starts quoting biblical scripture and then applies it. He himself applies it to his political opponents. Jesus didn't do that. He did. It is amazing to me how hard the Republican Party has worked to basically whittle away Christianity from a religion of positivity, love, welcoming, and compassion into one of hate and ridicule and shaming. And nothing in my mind makes that up more than the incredibly misquoted tweet statement that Republicans come on out, which they claim is Christian, which is give a man a fish, he eats for a day, teach a man to fish, he eats for his life. Now, it's not actually a Christian statement. It's an ancient Chinese one. I think it's from a few thousand years before Christianity. But don't let them stop you. Republicans will attribute anything to anyone as long as that they feel as vilifies the other person under the name of Jesus, because that's who they are. The funny thing is this, I don't know if I can take this. The next time any Republican ever brings that up, so once again, the statement is, you know, give a man a fish, he eats for a day, but if you teach a man a fish, he feeds for the rest of his life, a.k.a. that the government should then never have to help you at all in any capacity whatsoever. That's their kind of mentality. Now, mind you, the government basically will tell you, you can't fish in that lake where all the fish are. You got to go fish over here where there's no fish. And then they make you pay a licensing fee. And then you can't fish that way. You have to pay for all this equipment and all these things. Yeah, all that stuff aside. But just going back to the phrase itself. Okay, when are you guys going to teach the man to fish? Because you guys don't do that. You see, that's the little out that they kind of want to skip past on that. And this is what you say is, wait a minute, when are you teaching anyone to fish? Because what they say is, give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Teach a man a fish, he eats for the rest of his life. When are you teaching? They don't teach anyone to fish. They just point to water and say, good luck. That's not teaching. As a matter of fact, it was kind of interesting. I thought about this. Joe Biden, the president, is trying to basically get debt relief for college students. The proverbial teaching them how to fish, getting them a college degree that's affordable so that they can go out into the real work world and then they can make a great living as a college graduate. He's literally doing that. And the Republicans aren't for that. So when the next time a Republican comes up to you and says, you got to give a man a fish, you know, they eat for one day, you teach him how to fish, they eat for life. You look at them and say, but you're not for teaching the man to fish. You don't want to do a damn thing. You just want to say this and act like you've done something. You've not done anything to help this man learn how to fish. Which is, once again, a parable for taking care of themselves. If you were for that and you really wanted to teach this man to fish, well, then get them all free college. Give them free college. Because then they'll all graduate. They'll be able to get really good jobs and be able to, you know, make a lot of money. And they can go fishing anytime they want. No longer can we allow Republicans to basically have carte blanche over these things and act like that they... You have to look for the simple fault. The simple fault there is Republicans can claim they're teaching people how to fish. They don't teach a damn person how to fish. They're not teaching a damn person how to fish. And plus, the fish, would you really want fish every day? I mean, I like a good fish fillet. Don't get me wrong. Oh, fantastic. Some cod, a little seafood. Of course, a walleye. Nothing wrong with that. But you get my point. The next time they say that, look at them. It's like, when was the last time you taught anyone or gave away the education for anyone to learn how to do anything on their own? Hamina, 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 hamina. Tramp. That's what they'll say. Devil Radio coming up. Native Roots Radio coming up here in the 6 o'clock hour. We're back on a Friday. Have a good one. Till tomorrow. See ya.